Welcome everybody, this is Dolphy 365 Developer Patterns and Practices webcast, and this time we're going to talk about something called Widget Wrangler, which is something what Julie and Bob from Blue Metal has created and shared using the BMP repository or BMP samples as well. And I'll obviously hand over the presentation to Julie and Bob, and I'll be asking them questions as we go through the material and go through the demos. But Julie and Bob, feel free to take it away.
All right, thanks. Okay, so we're Bob German and Julie Turner from Blue Metal Architects, and Bob and I work doing a lot of for a software design consultancy in Boston and New York and Chicago, and we do a lot of work with Office 365 and SharePoint development, and also have practices focused on design, mobile applications, cloud services, big data, and managed services. So this work that we're presenting today comes from our efforts to future-proof our client work and enable greater reuse of our solutions across environments. So let's get started and talk about what a widget is or what we mean by a widget. So widgets are pervasive on the internet, and they can also be called plugins or embeds, and you'll see them on things like YouTube or weather widgets or stock ticker widgets. And the BMP team references them as app script parts or maybe add-in script parts. And all it really is just a clever piece of HTML and JavaScript that act like a web part. And this is a very handy thing in SharePoint because you can use it in a content editor web part, in a SharePoint hosted add-in, or even outside SharePoint in an Office 365 application or provided hosted add-in. And so we thought about what might make a good widget, and these were the four tenets that we came up with. One, that they would be isolated, so they won't interfere with any other widgets on the page. Can you run multiples of them on the page? Secondly, are they efficient so that they load quickly? You don't want the page to get slower just because you add more widgets to the page. Thirdly, is it self-contained so that they're really easy to reuse? You don't want to have the widget have element IDs or scripts or CSS references that need to be on the page elsewhere in order to work. And finally, are they modern so that they're easier to write and maintain and that they use some maybe modern frameworks like Angular or Knockout, and just, you know, in general have a good development pattern to them. So why use a widget? Well, first, they run directly on the page, so you don't have to deal with interacting with iframes, which can be tricky. They're deployed potentially by the end user or centrally by an admin, and probably the most important piece is that they're reusable, so that you can have one widget and use it in all these different places while doing your SharePoint development work, or even outside of SharePoint for that matter. So to sort of show widgets in action, this is a screen capture of the Blue Metal intranet. And we really use this pattern or style in the Blue Metal intranet. I'm pointing out here first a clients and projects list that reach out to an external API to display a current project and client list, a news feed that was completely written using REST calls and Angular, and a tab new hire and anniversary carousel that uses some jQuery to do the carouseling, tabbed calendars and discussions, just make it easier to view, and a Twitter feed, which obviously uses an embed tag.
By the way, it's on Office 365.
Right, hosted on Office
365. It makes heavy use of Office 365 content as part of what gets presented there.
Yeah, that's a great point. So out of all of that work, we decided that we really needed to build something to sort of support us. And so we're introducing the Widget Wrangler. And we sort of developed a manifesto. We kind of wanted to make sure we thought through it well. So we wanted to have no dependencies on any other scripts or frameworks. We wanted to make sure it was really easy to use. We wanted to minimize the impact on the overall page when there were several instances present. We wanted to match Angular 1.x browser support. And we wanted to make sure we really tested it very thoroughly and made sure that it worked with SharePoint Online, SharePoint 2013, and any maybe of the newer versions of SharePoint coming out, SharePoint 2016, for instance. So why use the Widget Wrangler? Well, it first helps you avoid interference with the hosting page and other widgets on the page. It helps load scripts very efficiently for all the widgets on the page. It allows you to use any of the MVStar frameworks or Angular or Knockout or plain old JavaScript. So it's independent of whatever you decide to write in. And it also helps you isolate your code from the UI for easy portability to maintain on multiple platforms and environments. So here's a sample of what it looks like. And this is a simple hello world. And you can kind of see from this that it's pretty simple to use. The widget wrangler is the script tag that's in this div tag. So you'd have a div tag that is its container, and you might put some UI inside of that div container. And then the final piece of it would be a script tag. And that script tag points to the widget wrangler library and then has some properties such as the app name, the app type, and the scripts that the app is dependent on with prioritization so that the widget wrangler can then pick up those pieces of information, load the scripts that it's dependent upon, and then bootstrap to the HTML that's on your page. So that can be pretty powerful. So where do you get it? Well, you can get it, we're really excited to say, in the Pattern Practices JavaScript Core library. And we also have a separate GitHub source that is the master repository where we are going to support pull requests. So if you had, you know, wanted to assist or contribute in any way, you could definitely do that. And so next, Bob is going to demo it and show you some different ways that you can use the widget wrangler. So, Bob?
Thanks, Julie. And the fun thing about these demos is that you can actually follow along as you watch the recording. All you need is a web browser for most of these demos. So let me just kind of switch over to my web browser and bring that up. So I'm just going to go through these kind of informally. This first one is a plain JavaScript example. So if you go to bit.ly/ww-js1, you'll come to this. And this is, these tend to be very simple. The idea here is to illustrate how to use the widget wrangler and not to show off a fancy application that would kind of get in the way of the understanding. The point is, in every one of these demos, you'll see that the widgets, we have at least two on the screen, and they're independent of each other. So their behavior is being demonstrated by the fact that when I push the button in widget one, it doesn't affect widget two and vice versa. So if you look here at the source code, you can see that widget one is here in this div, and that's the container or widget root that Julie talked about. And then there's a script which is calling, in this case, just one, bringing one script tag or one application script in from the widget wrangler. So if I go in and just quickly take a look at that, that actually is the application script is actually bringing in, oops, let's do that. That's the widget wrangler itself. You hopefully don't need to go into that in order to use it. Hopefully we don't have any bugs that would force you in there. But what you can see here, this is my, let me go back to the widget one more time quickly. See this attribute here? It says ww-appbind. Well, what this is doing is it's basically saying, hey, widget wrangler, load these scripts, which is only one. And when it's finished loading, call this appbind function. And then the appbind function is down here. This is what I call it. And what it's going to do is it's actually going to, in this case, it's going to keep track of the different widget instances in a JavaScript array. And the reason that I had to do that was so that the onClick event could find the widget. This becomes quite a bit simpler when we have a real framework like Angular or Knockout to do the binding for us.
And we might want to point out too here that when we're binding, widget wrangler passes to the binding function the element that is its parent.
That's right. So that
that's key.
That key div tag, that widget group is getting passed in here. And then we're going to go ahead and make a new widget instance. Notice that if I didn't have this new keyword here, I would actually, the button would update both of them at the same time, because the idea here is that we're making a new instance for each of the object for each one of the widgets on the screen. But yeah, it's this passing in of the element and bootstrapping sort of from the element that's the key to this. This is probably a little bit easier to see in my next example. This is a jQuery example, so everybody knows jQuery. And you might have even seen this before. If you want to try this, by the way, it's bit.ly/ww-jq1. You might have seen this jQuery UI demo, because I actually kind of stole it from the jQuery UI folks. The thing is that the sample that's up there on the jQuery UI site, if I had two color pickers on the page, they would interfere with each other. And if I changed the slider on the second one, it would actually update the color on the first one. But as you can see here, they're actually behaving completely independently, and I could put as many of these on the page as I like.
So what's really powerful too here, I think, is that in this case, we have more than one script. We're loading jQuery, jQuery UI, and then the script itself. And what's really neat about this is that it will, if you set the priority, and if you scroll a little to the right, Bob, so we can show that. We're setting the priority in this particular case to 0, 1, and 2. So that means that Widget Wrangler sees these scripts and loads them in order. So it waits until it loads the first one, named priority 0, and then it waits until it's finished and then loads the second one, which is priority 1, and then waits till that's finished and loads the third one. However, if you have scripts that your widget is dependent on, you can give them the same priority if it doesn't matter. If they're not dependent on each other, but you want to load three or four separate libraries, like say you were going to use Moment and a couple other things in here, but they're not dependent on each other, you could put them as the same priority. And the Widget Wrangler is smart enough to load them in parallel. So that can really speed up your
page load.
Yeah, your page load.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty powerful.
So another thing, so that's a really good point, and I'll show a parallel example in a minute. The other thing, if we come in and actually look at the script, I pretty much took the sample from the jQuery UI folks exactly, except for I had to make a couple of changes. One is that here's my load function. Notice that this is simpler now, so I don't have to, because I've got jQuery involved, I don't have to do as much of the lifting myself, but I still have to make a new, I called it a controller, sort of in that MVC type of style, to handle each instance. And then it's going to get passed in that DOM element, that div at the top.
Right.
Now when I come up here, all I had to do, I actually took their code exactly, except for wherever they were referencing an element, they were calling $ and then an element ID.
Right.
So if I wanted two color pickers on the page, I'm not really supposed to duplicate those element IDs. And in practice, it'll generally pick the first one. So what I did was everywhere that it did that, instead of that, I look for a dollar element and then the selector within that element.
Right.
And so now everything is always relative to the parent element, and everything else in the script you pretty much don't have to worry about, because it's all explained up on the jQuery UI site.
Right.
But this, I kind of did it this way to show how you could take some existing jQuery code that you had and make it into a widget.
Yeah.
Right? It makes it really
reusable.
It's very reusable, and it's almost kind of mechanical once you get the first piece of it working. So now let's get into, this is the way that Julie and I like to work with it, is in Angular. And so this is just a really simple hello world example. And I can say hello to Julie in one widget and goodbye to Bob in the other. But what's going on here is, if you look at these widgets now, the actual view is right here inside of the widget. So Angular, Widget Wrangler knows how to bootstrap Angular directly, so I didn't have to have my own load function. And you'll see here that I'm actually loading Angular first at priority 0. And I don't know if you can see that. And then my script second. So then what it can do is it can go ahead and associate this controller with this spot on the UI. And with that, it just kind of generally simplifies, like, here's the entire code, right? So I don't need to create a new object for each instance, because Angular will do that for you. And as I'll show you in a moment, Angular is extremely good at keeping these things isolated to the point where you actually kind of have to work around it if you want two widgets to talk to each other. So I guess that's pretty much what I want to show about this. I'm not going to explain how Angular works, I did a talk on Collab 365 that's available online. You can search for it on YouTube that actually goes into more detail about the Angular aspect of this. So now here's a weather. This is actually the first demo that's actually maybe useful. And you can see that now we're in Boston right now, by the way. And so just, every now and then the server like wants to throttle me. So that's what's happening here with the Miami weather. Let me try one more time. Prove to you that it will hopefully work. Oh, come on. Murphy's Law, right?
It's always the demo gods which are...
Yes, I know. No, I could make the demo more. 429 is the server busier, and it's actually giving me the payload, and if I wanted to double the size of my demo or whatever, make my code a lot longer, I could code around that better. But anyway, the thing is, so if you look at this one, this is kind of interesting in a couple of ways. One is that... I'm actually doing some CSS here. So as you can see, my little weather forecast has some style sheet to it. So this is coming in the new version of Widget Wrangler, which will be released probably by the time you see this.
Yeah.
And so we can now actually add app CSS on there as well, again, to try to get everything into one place. So that if you just drop this, this div tag onto any page, it just works. Secondly, I'm using a weatherdisplay.html. So in other words, I'm using an Angular template to actually format my output. And that's really useful because one of the things we've noticed is when you're using this in a SharePoint environment, you may want to put your scripts somewhere else other than the site where you're using them. Let's imagine that you have 100 project sites and they all want to have the weather forecast on them. Well, when somebody changes the weather API, I probably don't want to go to each of the 100 sites and update the script, or maybe they want to change the view, the look of it, something like that. So what we typically will do is create a site collection just for the holding these scripts, and then reference everything over in that site collection. And if you're using managed paths so that the host name is the same, that just works great. And then what you can do is, all you have in each site is this little set of widget references, and that is very unlikely to change. And then all of your code, the UI, the code, the behavior, everything behind it is in that script site so that you can update it centrally.
Yeah.
And so we literally had this on our intranet. Julie wrote those web parts that she showed, and one day everybody at my company came in and the intranet was faster. And every single site was faster, and it was because she had found an optimization in her code. She deployed it to one place, and immediately every single site was updated. So that's a really powerful concept. And I think I did a webinar with you, Vesa, a while ago on a microsurvey demo. That's been that's also up in the Pattern and Practices library. I have a link at the end. And it shows that principle, and it's also now implemented as a widget. So
and absolutely, yeah. So on that one, we also have quite a few JavaScript performance webcasts in the BNP videos, which are essentially demonstrating the same thing as well. And that's a really, really powerful thing to have the JavaScripts in one location. And just as well, they could be in a CDN, right? As long as the JavaScript itself. Yeah.
Exactly. The location doesn't have to be a site. So, I mean, it's convenient to do that sometimes. It can be more efficient. Obviously, a CDN is going to be much faster because it's distributed and because it's really optimized for static content.
Yeah.
The other thing is if you're using hostname site collections or if you have multiple host names, if you're on-prem, maybe you have different web applications, then you're going to get cross-origin issues potentially. You won't with a JavaScript, but you will with something like this HTML template is not going to come across two different domains. So in that case, the CDNs handle that cross-origin sharing well. As in addition, at times I've set up an IIS site on premises where it had to be on-prem, and then I just go ahead and put the course headers into the IIS site and solve it that way. So now, my last demo is of two some connected widgets, and actually it's not my last because then I'll quickly show you a TypeScript example. But this is a sender and two receivers. So you can see it's again trying to keep it simple. So I can type anything I want into the sender and it comes out the receivers. So if we look at the code. A couple of interesting things. First of all, is that the message service and the sender are at the same priority. So just the way that it's written, there was no real need to have them load sequentially. So we actually load them in parallel. The second thing is that what this is doing is that there's a service in here that actually handles sending messages between these widgets. And it was kind of amazing to me. Initially, I thought I had done this before when I had an Angular application and I had multiple controllers and views on the page. And all I did was I made a service that was a factory service, so I'd have only one instance of it. And then I used that for information sharing between the controllers. I tried that with the widget wrangler, and son of a gun, but Angular is so good at isolating these widgets because each one is a separate Angular application. Even though the module name, the service name, the controller names are all the same, because we're bootstrapping it, each widget separately, Angular maintains complete isolation. So in order to send in messages, I actually had to use just direct JavaScript. And so you'll see that I created a namespace up at the top for inter-widget message, and then I created an array of channels. And when you send a message, it's actually using that channels array to send the messages through. So it's going around the back door of Angular, basically, in order to do that information sharing. So now my last little demo, I'm going to switch environments slightly and show you a TypeScript version. This is just something, we're trying to take this kind of to the next level. We've gotten rather fond of TypeScript as a more powerful language than just the JavaScript. So this is the same weather widget as we saw before. And what you might notice is that the code is the same as it was, the markup in the widget itself, declaration is the same. And in fact, we could actually switch from JavaScript to TypeScript, centrally deploy it, and all the widgets that we had in our environment would update automatically. So if I get into the code, I'll just kind of give you a flavor for it, but now we can have an actual strongly typed model of what weather information is. We can declare our application, and then our controller and service, the weather service, actually turns out to work in TypeScript. Kind of a cool thing that came out of this is the ability to strongly type a RESTful service. So in this case, we're getting back the weather data. And what I did here is there's a little trick that you can do, which is you go into, and I use Chrome, this also works with Firefox, is that if you put a breakpoint in your code just as the data is coming back, and then you can use a copy function in the console to copy the JSON onto the clipboard, and then there's a website called JSON2DTS, with the number 2, that that will translate the JSON into a DTS file, which is looks like this, which basically is all the declarations to tell TypeScript exactly what the data looks like. So that when my weather service comes back, it's not just returning a random piece of data, it's returning an IHTTP promise with OWM.data as the response type. And when we come down here, I have full IntelliSense. So if I'm in here and I want to go data dot, and you can see here that I have everything that comes back from the weather service is right here in TypeScript and is going to be strongly, you know, checked by the TypeScript compiler.
Yeah, and what I think is the strong take-home message here is that you can still use the widget wrangler just as you did, because that HTML markup is exactly the same. So widget wrangler will still manage the loading of your scripts and stuff, but you can really take your JavaScript coding to the next level and do the strongly typed development and stuff, but still use that pattern to make sure that when you're deploying it, it's running as efficiently as you can in the SharePoint.
Exactly. Exactly. We don't have time to show it today, but we do have a test program that we use that we've actually measured the performance and tested a lot of different parallel loading scenarios and things to make sure that that works.
And Bob, before you go back on the presentation, just can we go back on the most simplistic HTML, just to reinforce the message on that one? So technically, we didn't have a look now at how to put the widget wrangler to a SharePoint site, but what you would be doing is just simply copy-pasting that section to a script to edit the web part and making sure that the script JS file is in a shared location, right?
That's it exactly, and we actually use it, and the micro survey has some instruction on this, but we use it sometimes in add-in parts. It works great in a SharePoint hosted add-in. It works in a provider hosted add-in. Most often we use it in a script or content editor web part, yeah, right on the page.
I use it there all the time.
Yeah. So it's extremely flexible, and it's simple, right? That's kind of the point.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And you could actually, whoever is creating those applications, you could have a centralized set of those scripts where you load, have your application JavaScript, and then it's just a matter of teaching the content editors the needed JavaScript section, what will be pasted into the content editor web part. So relatively simple stuff.
Yep,
that's right. And there's a whole, I think there's a lot of people out there who maybe aren't comfortable writing, you know, a complex widget or something, but that who know how to take that and drop it into a content editor web part. I mean, I'm sure everybody has either done this themselves or had a customer who found something on the web and pasted it into a content editor web part to get some tabs to show up or something like that.
Yeah, and even from that perspective, from the reuse perspective, a lot of times I will take this part of it, the div and the script tags, and I'll put that in a file that I'll give an HTML extension to and put that in a separate location as well. And now, granted, if it's a content editor web part, that the HTML file has to live in the same site collection. So that's a little bit of a restriction. But the point being that you could have in your like styles library or something, a folder with a bunch of widgets that have all the HTML part. The JavaScript portions of them can be centrally located in their own site collection, and you can let users just point to these text files with the content editor web part. Makes it very easy for them to add one to their page without having to actually know to write it, but you're still using that pattern. You know, so.
Absolutely. So, and that's a really good point, because there's always two sides of the story. There's the development side of the story and then the consuming part. And even though we would be making the best possible and coolest applications out there, if the consuming of that application would be too difficult, then nobody would be using that. But in this case, that's not the case. This is extremely easily reusable within the deployments.
Yep, exactly. So
just to kind of wrap up, and then there's certainly we can have more conversation, but I want to just put this on the screen, maybe leave it up for a while. So we have our own repo, www.github.bit.ly/www.github. We'll get you there quickly. We do that so that, I mean, we love the PNP folks, but we wanted to have our own release schedule. And then what we do is we do a pull request. When we do a release, we do a pull request against the Office Dev PNP. If people would like to contribute, we love it. Just please do your pull request against our dev branch. It's sort of a pattern we picked up from your team, basically. We've also got our home in Office Dev PNP. We put PNP in the name of the widget wrangler because we really feel so strongly about PNP in all of our projects these days and are happy to be part of it. There's also a blog article out there which has a full write-up with the links to all the code samples you've seen today and more detail, documentation on all of the parameters and everything like that. And then we've got the micro survey there, which is designed to work as a SharePoint hosted add-in, as a drag and drop application where you literally just drag a bunch of files into a SharePoint library and then click it and it works. And then you can reference it from a content editor web part. And then there's a central deployment pattern where we've used the PNP JavaScript, PowerShell library to deploy the application, the little survey application out to where it's out to the place that hosts the scripts, as well as pushing it out into the sites where it will be used. So it's a much more elaborate sample, but it's using the widget wrangler at this point. Then, as I mentioned, I did a talk on this for Collab 365, and that's posted on YouTube, so you can grab that if you want to kind of get a walkthrough of that demo. It shows more remote provisioning and other kinds of things along with the Angular. And then finally, the sort of article that I wrote a while ago that really, it was, I'll tell you, you know, I saw you and Steve Walker do training on Microsoft Academy, Virtual Academy, and it kind of changed the way I was doing everything, and it changed the way Blue Metal does all of our development now for SharePoint. And this article was my summary of that training. So, you know, I invite people to check it out and give us feedback and make contributions, and we'll just have a lot of fun with it.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Julie. Thank you both for a great presentation. And I think actually this is a great demo on the power of using also the so-called JavaScript embedding approach, like we call it in the BNP. And that was it came to be, I think we first call it JavaScript injection, but then our Microsoft internal content editor said that maybe injection isn't the right thing to do. Technically, that means that we're running a JavaScript in the context of the site, and a widget wrangler is absolutely a great example of doing that, because now we can do extremely nice stuff. You can say it's responsive, you can still be responsive, it doesn't have the iframes and all of that. And we're seeing more and more partners and customers doing similar things in the SharePoint, in on-premises and within Office 365. But I think that sums up the thing for this recording. Let's continue the discussion in the GitHub and in the Yammer and all of that stuff, and in the social media in general. But thank you both for joining, and really great demos and really great great solution showing the power of SharePoint development as well.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks.